You're listening to STP Radio.
Hello, once again, STP Radio listeners, to another edition of STP Radio, where we get to talk to interesting, motivated, peculiar, fascinating, expansive personalities in the software testing world. Today, I'm lucky enough to be joined by a person. I think, Paul, you've actually come and taken one of my classes, haven't you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you were calling me over by those very kind words. I was just walking by and I was like, oh, that must mean me.
That must mean you. Yes. So the voice you're hearing right now is my guest, Paul Bruce from SmartBear, who is the product marketing manager over the API space. And Paul, welcome to STP Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mark.
Very good. Now, this is your first opportunity to serve our industry in the role of a product marketing manager, but it's not what you've always done. Like, you have a serious technical background as well.
Yeah, well, I've been a dev for about, I want to say, 13, 14 years, and then switched over to a little bit more of an engineering tack, which, you know, there's conversations around what's the difference between, you know, an engineer and a developer, and anytime you're involved in decisions, you know, that's, you know, you can figure out who's who, but yeah. That launched me over into, you know, how else can I help this situation over here at SmartBear? Especially with our API space.
Yeah. Very cool. Now our mutual colleague, Lorinda Brennan, has been on a couple of different podcasts. I love working with her. She's moved on to new pastures, still in SmartBear doing other work.
Yeah. She's the director of strategic something or others. And she's going to kill me. She's going to kill me for this because I always mess it up. But, you know, she's doing some really great work with partners, and she's presiding over this whole plugin space for the APIs.
Oh, cool. So this is an opportunity for us to also say thank you to SmartBear for sponsoring the upcoming STPCon show. So thank you guys very much for that.
I will pass it along.
Yeah. Well, no, it's you. You work there. It's for you, man. Thank you. You're part of that. So so it's also a good chance for folks who may not have ever stopped by the booth, or if they're in the testing world and they've never heard of what SmartBear does. Maybe you can give us a little background kind of SmartBear and kind of the tools that you're working with and what kinds of things are happening at SmartBear right now.
Sure. So firstly, SmartBear is a company that is devoted to quality and performance in the applications that you build. So instead of just building apps for you, we're not an app company in that sense. Right. We help you figure out how to make those better and stronger, faster. And we do that with a whole line of products to help test things like your mobile apps, things like your APIs. We also help with monitoring your web assets. So if you get a website, you need to make sure if it's up and running functionally, then you can do that, get some performance metrics out of it. And we also have other tools for things like code collaboration. And essentially, it's to help people through that whole complicated delivery cycle. So all the way from somebody's got a great idea to somebody's got to code it, somebody's got to test it, somebody's got to then put it out in production, and then all the way back, because this is a life cycle that is cyclical. Yeah. So to be able to handle that in a continued iterative fashion.
Yeah, that's exactly. What we're all about. And like any good technology company, people may be more familiar with the brand names of the tools than they know about the company. And back in the old days, I'd say I work for Mercury Interactive. They're like, what the? That is a weird. Never heard of that name. Oh, you've heard of Windrunner, LoadRunner? Oh yeah, I know those tools.
We get that a lot with the booths. People will be like, oh, you guys do Soap UI. Oh, that's great. Oh,
I know Soap UI. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing that for almost 10 years now.
So tell us a little bit more. I know there's been some recent changes and things with the names in the recent release. So bring us up to speed on what is the kind of the recent release or what the product suite looks like from you.
Sure. So I'll start with the performance thing for a lot of the listeners. We have two specific products to handle load testing and recent changes to that. Soap UI itself has been a functional API testing tool that's done, you know, primarily functional tests on your APIs, but then also did a little bit of things like security and some basic load. And we realized that is a journey that you would go through even if you were just an API tester.
Sure.
And that was just your one job. So to be able to make sure that things like security was minimally checked before you went live, common problems against your APIs.
Right.
And so, you know, we moved from using the term SOAP UI just all by itself to Ready API, which, you know, as Lorinda has put it, is really a true platform to handle API readiness.
Right.
Just basically making sure that your API is going to succeed just like your business will or should.
Yeah.
When you go live with the stuff that you're about to roll out. And so that whole vision right there helps businesses not only with one specific problem, but also sort of with major pillars of that journey. And oh, by the way, since you're considering these major pillars, on the way there, you're kind of also making sure that, well, you know, we've got to have a healthy dev situation when it comes to being on time with our agile projects, or, you know, the operations team needs to know about this ahead of time because we just ran up against that in our testing because we were using this platform.
Right.
So it really helps to flesh out that whole story.
Cool. So within the last month, folks that may be familiar with SOAP UI as a tool, they'll now see it as Ready API. Is that the right way to make sense of it?
That's right. Ready API is the family of tools.
Okay.
It's a platform that, you know, allows us to launch multiple tools underneath that.
Got it.
SOAP UI is still one of them, but guess what? SOAP UI still does REST.
Oh, yeah.
It has done for a while now. So if you've got, you know, your RESTful services, we've got you covered.
Good, but then good geeks would say, how come you didn't just rename it to REST UI?
We played around with a lot of things. You know what? We found people love SOAP UI. Even people who are like, had never touched SOAP before, they get it. Like it works in Google. It works all over the place.
Cool.
That also covers things like Load UI, which is what I wanted to mention today.
Yeah.
Specifically about performance, because, you know, that's sort of, we've had a product called Load UI for a while, and that would always suck in the SOAP UI test cases and help you build out a load test around them.
Yeah.
But we want to put that in the platform. So it's just one download, one trial, one install, and you've got these things covered.
Right.
And then that also extends out to things like Service V. So that is a virtualization, an API virtualization tool as well. So you get a couple of tools in the same platform to cover needs.
Yeah. And now we haven't really talked in depth too much about kind of the capabilities, because also I know there's some stuff coming up right here in April next month. So what's the hot, exciting stuff that for folks that kind of know what you guys do, what's the exciting thing that's coming out in April?
Well, what I can mention is that we are really seriously trying to dig into the problem of API security.
Okay.
And so one of the big problems that we find is that people oftentimes put that off to the last minute. I don't know if that sounds familiar with, you know, performance problems at all, but, you know, it's the same kind of thing where, you know, you just got to get something up and running and run the code and put it into production. There's your DevOps story, except for, wait, where's the test involved? Oh, yeah, that's right. It broke. Let's go write a test and make sure it doesn't happen again. Let's monitor it and so on and so forth.
Yep.
But then it's really like, wait a second. You know, when you go to your compliance officer and he says, I don't know, I've got my own tools and I have no idea what these APIs are. Now it becomes a real problem where the people that know how to test the APIs are not the security experts, and the security experts are not the API experts. So you have to be able to come together and at the very least provide minimal friction around that, while at the same time resulting in an API that doesn't have obvious flaws in it, obvious security flaws.
Right. Now, I think people might be familiar with traditional like SQL injection and other forms of vulnerabilities that say a dynamic security test might go after, and may even be able to find some of that with a static analysis, which is maybe dating myself a little bit with those two categories.
Yep.
Is that something that is still relevant to what you guys are focused on in the new release?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's things like injection as well as fuzzing scanning, and then, you know, large payload injection and stuff. But, you know, without getting too much into detail, there are also these areas of concern, like, for instance, have you checked the root of your site to see if a .ht access file is out there and accessible?
Okay.
So, you know, for people who are building REST services, certainly SOAP too, but REST services, sometimes, especially around the microservice stack, you just got to get up and running. And it's super quick. And you just build something and it's out there. And then all of a sudden, like 3 months later, your credit card data is leaked.
Yeah.
And what used to be sort of a critical change in your business, which is shifting off of these like bad patterns or these hard to work for patterns now over to an API or service-oriented architecture, That was supposed to be a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, it comes back into light as like, yikes, we didn't think about all these things before we went live with this stuff. So, you know, mature shops might think about this stuff. But again, the whole point about this is, you know, to be able to let all the members of the team essentially not have to be security experts, but still produce highly secure services. And that could be the dev. It also is the combination of dev and testing folks.
Yeah. And especially, as you say, as people are accelerating the movement, deploying microservices and change much faster. And there's a whole new set of vulnerabilities. Well, they've been there the whole time. They're not new vulnerabilities, but these are things, the next challenge, like you say, that people have to go after. Cool. So this is one aspect of many of the releases that are coming up in April. And you'll find, and this is part included within the Ready API set of tools, right?
That's right. That's right. Cool. So, cool. You know, whatever tool you download, if you're doing a trial and you do like, you know, the SOAP UI NG mm-hmm. trial, you'll also get some base platform experience in Service V, which is a virtualization, and then also Load UI NG.
Yeah. So before we dig into that, because I want to hear a little bit more of your thoughts on what SmartBear is doing for service virtualization. Again, all the pieces fitting together, the Ready API at the API layer, are there SmartBear tools that sort of work or solutions that work outside of just the API stack? How does it all fit together?
Yeah. Last year, we had another name change to our web application performance or load testing solution. Yeah. Now it's called Load Complete. Okay. You might remember that because it was originally called Load Complete. So we changed it over to a name that didn't really work all that well, and now we've changed it back to Load Complete, and it works fantastically.
Be very awesome. But let's dig a little bit further into service virtualization, because as we were talking briefly before we started, there have been several large-scale solutions that have been out there. I would call them kind of incumbents now within the space that sort of predate. In my world, I used to write these things by hand, right? You used to, like, I'm going to write a stub or a mock and set it up by hand. REST simulator is not that hard to write. You know, these things are pretty simple to do. But now you guys are bringing some things that even I remember people using SOAP UI as a mock. So bring us up to speed on kind of what SmartBear is doing in the SV space.
With Service V, what we're trying to do is make it very easy to go in the API space, go from functional testing to performance testing, and then deal with a lot of the problems in and around those two major considerations. So for instance, in how it helps in the functional space. Well, look, if you've got teams that, you know, maybe a tester team could start much earlier than the devs can actually produce the first iteration of a service.
Right.
Well, they're just sitting on their hands, just waiting for the devs to get them some not just code, but an implementation that will actually stand up to how many testers you can throw at it. So one of the things we've done is make it really easy to, of course, we've always been able to pull in things like WSDLs and RAMLs and Swagger documents, specifications of what your API looks like.
Yeah.
Build tests off those. We can build virtual APIs off those as well. So what that allows you to do is start much earlier. Start much earlier building out, stubbing out your tests,
yep,
making sure your reports are formatted the way they should be, making sure the process is built in a manner that everybody, you know, can collaborate on. And then also, if you want to integrate that into your CI systems, to make sure that that's set up and running properly too. All that stuff is meta, is sort of pre-configuration to actually running the tests on live code, stuff that could have bugs in it, stuff that will have bugs in it.
But it's just not built yet, so the bugs can't exist there yet because it hasn't been built.
Right. The other thing that we commonly run into with people is it's hard to get developers to change something, or DBAs, to change something to prove that when the service is not spitting back proper data, it's breaking.
Yeah.
So let me say it one more, a different way. If you need to have a service come back with a bad response, that's a pain for a lot of testers.
Yeah.
So, you know, service virtualization, or specifically for our purposes, API virtualization, allows you to regain control over that whole lifecycle. So if you're pointing at a virtual API, you can just very easily change that response to act as if it's an improper response.
Yeah.
And then you can prove that your tests are actually, you know, succeeding on the positive and then also failing on the negatives.
Yeah. it reminds me of something. Actually, I've been helping Andy Tinkham and Ian Bannerman start up a new podcast called Testing Bias. But one of their first episodes is on what is negative testing. And so what you bring up is it's a great debate. And Andy is a super smart guy, but they're both really, really smart. So it's if you keep an eye out for Testing Bias podcast. So that's really, really cool. We didn't digging a little bit further into performance. I know in the API space that you're currently over having a performance background as well. There have been some massive changes recently. In fact, we just did another show about HTTP2, and you mentioned it earlier. What are the things that are exciting you or making you nervous about HTTP2?
HTTP2 is a very interesting thing because it's much more qualified, I feel, than the way that people are using more common terms like HTML5. It took a long time to figure out what was in HTML5. And, you know, it takes a long time to figure out what's going to be applicable. But fortunately, we had companies like Google sort of fleshing this stuff out via Speedy. And now that we've come to HTTP2, now it's sort of democratized in a sense. Yeah. And I see one of the biggest things that really excites me is that multiplexing stuff.
Yeah.
Certainly for front-end performance testing, it applies a little less to API, but still there's a whole bunch of stuff like header compression.
Yep.
That does really matter to APIs. I mean, if all you have is maybe even a resource get, a resource URI and a get, or oftentimes maybe not so much a post,
yeah.
But and you've got a bunch of headers,
yep.
And maybe a little bit of a payload, every little bit of performance that you can eke out of that matters so much more. You are down to the wire. You're like rubber to the road, pedal to the metal, all those statements. That's what API is like when it comes to performance. You really need to eke out every aspect of that.
Well, and so, more efficient use of connections just in terms of multiplexing, being able to move that. If I get a connection up, I might as well do a multiplexed communication to make most efficient use before my train goes into the tunnel and I use my connection. So in SmartBear's world around the load testing tools, within the load complete stack, is there a service virtualization piece that comes into that platform as well?
It's brilliant. You don't need it. Well, you do need it. I mean, you know, if you need it, you need it.
Yeah.
But you don't need to have it under one tool. In fact, giving people the opportunity to opt into just the tools they need at the time they need them is really critical. And it's how we do business here.
Yeah.
We don't want to sell you a bunch of stuff you don't need. What we do want to do is sell you a bunch of stuff that you need so that you can succeed and be a better tester, so that you can make our products better, and so on and so forth. We benefit and you benefit.
Yeah. So if people are working within Test Complete and Load UI,
yes,
using the SmartBear API virtualization, they can combine those as well, right?
Right. Right. So yeah. So virtualization is really profound for testers on mobile apps. Which, you know, mobile apps are oftentimes a mixture of mostly CDNs, mm-hmm. A bit of your code tied up in an API, and then a bunch of other people's code tied up in their APIs, whether that's your API that calls theirs or not. But the point is, like, even if you have a front-end mobile app, being able to virtualize your APIs allows your testers to do all those things we just talked about.
Right.
Version their tests, make sure that the client, front-end client, versions with the back-end properly, make sure that they don't need to have ops spin up a server. You know, they can take it on the road. They can do it not necessarily through a VPN. They can do it locally, all that kind of stuff.
Cool. And then as they progress into running load tests with Load UI or Test Complete, the same virtualization, the verts on the shared vert server, you can pull those in and use them in performance testing as well.
Yeah, right. Well, at some point, right, your local vert runs into local resource problems. And that's why we have the ability to scale out to the vert server, which you can literally, I mean, especially when teams are starting to really hit this stuff, I certainly not necessarily with a load test involved, but I'll come back to that in a second. But the idea is you should be able to share it, but then also put it on hardware that is not these little laptops that you get from corporate or, you know, that you've inherited from some other project.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So, Paul, this has been a fantastic conversation. We've gone lots of different places. So thanks for taking the time to chat with us. Want to make sure people know how to basically follow SmartBear. I mean, obviously, the website is www.smartbear.com, but and several of the shows you just mentioned. What's coming up, and how should folks keep in touch with you?
Sure. So, on Twitter, we've got the SmartBear handle, and then also ready_API. Cool. And then also, you know, for some of the other products, we've got those we've got my personal handle is Paul S. Bruce, and feel free to tweet me about anything that you've run into, any kind of stories that you want to chat about. Yeah. But then also there's a whole bunch of other handles that you can get from the smartbear.com website.
Yeah. That sounds really awesome. And then of course we're going to see you at STPCon. So if you're at the conference next week, come and hang out at the booth and fire up a conversation about HTTP2 multiplexing.
Same thing for you too. Next time you're in Boston, you got to come check out our new digs. And I would even encourage you, I think I'm going to challenge you right now on the air. Challenge you to come to the Boston Web Performance Group, because you know there've been a bunch of people there. We're talking about web high performance.
Yeah,
people from Google like Jeff Kaufman and Grant Ellis from Instar Logic, and
yeah,
and then my favorite, Jonathan Klein. I can't get away from him. Jonathan Klein from Etsy.
Yeah, yeah.
High performance. I mean, serious stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Let's. I will take you up on that challenge. Let's figure out when I can come up and hang out. All right. Thank you, Paul. And we'll keep in touch, and I will see you in Boston at a WebPerf meetup. That would be awesome.
All right. Cheers, Mark.
Thank you for listening to another episode of STP Radio. As your host, it's my pleasure to bring these intriguing and engaging conversations to assist you in your quest to become a better software tester. Please be aware that this podcast is a production of the Software Test Professionals Organization and is copyrighted and protected via the Creative Commons Share with Attribution non-derivative licensing. For more information, please visit www.softwaretestpro.com. On behalf of myself and the entire STP community, please share this podcast with your fellow testers and developers and managers. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us on the next episode of STP Radio.